You're listening to Radio Influence.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is Ian Beckles on the Monday after all the championship games, and I hope you guys all enjoyed them. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you watched the games. That wouldn't make much sense. I don't know any football fans that are able to miss an AFC or NFC championship game. I am 50, and I don't remember missing one ever. So unless I was 5 or 4, I don't know. That's a long time ago. So at this time of the year, you know, it's not really a choice whether you watch it or not. If you're a true football fan, I love baseball, I love basketball, and I love hockey. But if my team isn't in it, I don't have to watch it. When it comes to football, I mean, you don't have much choice. So the games yesterday were both interesting in weird ways. First of all, that Minnesota game. Minnesota, first of all, I don't know how much of a real advantage that would really be having a Super Bowl in your town. I think it'd be cool to be the first team, no doubt about it. But when you're in a Super Bowl, you have 2 weeks of mayhem, all right? So if, say, the Super Bowl is in Minnesota, New England's going to stay in New England for a week, so there's not going to be mayhem there. If Minnesota is playing in the same city as Minnesota and they had the Super Bowl there, that's going to be 2 weeks of mayhem. Now, think about this. Every Super Bowl player gets, I want to say, 30 tickets, somewhere in there, maybe a little bit more. You know how hard it's going to be to deal with people in your own town? How many people are going to want tickets? Everybody you know? So I'm not sure that would have been such a great home field advantage, because in the Super Bowl, you know, when you're looking in the stands, that's all money. That's not the hometown. It doesn't work like that. That's all corporate money, and that's not going to change. There's still people from San Diego have to get to the game, and there's people from Seattle and Alaska, the ones with a lot of money, they're getting to the game. So I'm not sure that would have been such a great home field advantage. Now, they obviously got drubbed by Nick Foles and the Eagles. I didn't see that coming. I put money on Philadelphia because that was a big spread for Case Keenan, if you would say. But I thought Minnesota was going to figure out a way to eke it out in a kind of a sloppy, low-scoring game. Philadelphia is better than I thought they were. And Nick Foles is better than I thought he was. Because, you know, that Minnesota defense is a serious defense. They were coming up with some statistics that, you know, you could put them up against some of the best defenses of all time. And they just completely dismantled them. And what I think is going to be interesting is if Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl as a quarterback, next year they're going to put Carson Wentz back in. That's not going to be an easy situation. If Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, I'm not really sure of his contract situation, but if he wins the Super Bowl, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid anyways. But if Carson Wentz is on this team next year and he's healthy, Nick Foles, if he wins a Super Bowl, is not going to want to be a backup quarterback. That I guarantee. And his agent right now is already talking about that, because I know his contract's probably intact, but he's not going to sit behind anybody after he wins a Super Bowl. And he shouldn't. So Nick Foles is making a whole lot of money. I feel bad a little bit for Minnesota. I like the way they play. I think they're a rough team, but Philadelphia, they were playing at a different speed yesterday. And like I said, you got to give Nick Foles his love. You got to give that defense their love. And when it's all said and done, you know, the NFL obviously wants certain matchups, okay? Minnesota against Jacksonville is the unsexiest Super Bowl ever. Like, I can't think of a matchup that would be less sexy than Minnesota against Jacksonville, because I don't know anybody that hates Minnesota, because there's no reason to hate Minnesota. And I don't know anybody that hates Jacksonville, other than if when you're visiting there because it stinks. But other than that, nobody hates the Jacksonville Jaguars. They don't have, you know, enough history, and they haven't done enough for anybody to hate them. The two most hated teams in the NFL are, or two of them, Philadelphia and New England. They both have fantastic fan bases that will travel, and you can't be, if you're an Eagle fan, you can't be anybody else's fan. That's just the way it goes. And if you're a Patriots fan, you can't have a second team. Like, I've heard people say, I'm a Buccaneer and a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm like, whatever. If you're an Eagles fan, you can't have another team. They'll stab you in Philadelphia. Don't mess around with that. And those teams, if you're not an Eagle fan, you're not allowed to like them. That's the rule. You're not allowed to. They're not likable if you're not an Eagle fan. They're not trying to be likable. They don't want you to like them. That's a fact. And if you're not a Patriots fan, you're not allowed to like them either because they're too good. And their fans can be a little obnoxious sometimes too. But that obnoxious is just success, you know? Alabama fans are obnoxious too, but that's because, you know, nobody can mess with them. So they, all the hate that Philadelphia earns is warranted because they win all the goddamn time, all the time. And I said before that game yesterday, and Jacksonville showed up to play. And I don't know if New England has much better personnel than Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville might be even more talented than New England. But the football gods were not going to let Blake Bortles go into New England in the AFC Championship game and beat Tom Brady. The gods won't allow that. It's just, it'll get misaligned. They don't want that. So watching that game yesterday when they're up 14-3, and I was at Elmer's watching the game, and you had a couple Jacksonville fans, and they said, I told you, New England's defense isn't that good. And I go, you ever hear the word adjustment? And from that point on, they scored 3 points. New England figures it out. They always figure it out. And they're not just making, you always hear a lot of teams talking about halftime adjustments, and some teams make them and some teams don't. That's true. If you watch the New England Patriots, their coaches and Belichick as well is making adjustments after every single series. Like, he's telling everybody what the other team's doing because he knows the game that well. And he's making adjustments during the game. Okay, so I'm telling you, that's when you have Tom Brady and you have Bill Belichick, don't bet against them. And at the end of the game, if Tom Brady has the ball in his hand, you're in trouble because he just expects to score, expects to win. Where I thought Jacksonville lost the game was here. With 54 seconds left in the first half, and you're up by 4 points, and you kneel down on a 20-yard line, that's telling your whole offense that we don't have enough confidence in you. You can't tell me that the New England Patriots up four with 54 seconds left were going to kneel down. Run a screen or do something to try to gain 15 yards, and then you need one play and you're in field goal range. That just tells me you're happy up 4 points, and you should have known the Patriots were going to come back and score some points. You're happy up 4 points, and you don't have any confidence in your quarterback. And if I was in that huddle, I'd have been upset, seriously. You know, I said that Blake Bortles was not going to beat Tom Brady, and he didn't. But Blake Bortles was not the problem yesterday. Blake Bortles had a half dozen just glorious throws. I was impressed with his accuracy. He had a couple he'd like to take back, obviously. But in all, I thought Blake Bortles played well. He wasn't the reason why they lost that game. And listen, the Pats have won 9 straight playoff games at home. They don't lose at home. So you want to keep on thinking they're coming down and they're falling off, and Brady's 40 and he has stitches in his hands. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Because at the end of the game, they usually have a couple more points than the other team. Now, if Brady wins his Super Bowl, he'd be the first person ever with 6 Super Bowl wins, and the other being Charles Haley. So at this point now, he's the greatest of all time. Forget about the rest. Because, you know, that's it. A couple years ago, you could argue Montana, no, it's over now. It's too long. He's been playing too long. He's been successful too long. Statistically, at this winning percentage, the whole thing, it's over. I mean, he's the best. If he wins this one, there'll never be a better. Well, I can tell you right now, there'll never be a quarterback better than Tom Brady ever, because they don't last anymore. Anybody that played 2 years in the last few years. They get hurt all the time. Nobody's going to play 18 years anymore in the league. It's not going to happen from here on. There's not going to be anybody play never again, unless it's a kicker. And I don't even think a kicker is going to last anymore. Not for 18 years. They're getting too big. You know, there was guys, we were bringing up a couple names yesterday while we were at Elmer's, and Bruce Matthews and Clay Matthews. These guys are all played 20 years. And that just doesn't happen anymore. I think the players are too big. Players are too strong. The collisions are too nasty. And you just can't last that long. You know, Rob Gronkowski, obviously is a difference maker, but he's not on the field enough. You know, there's other players that played years and years and years and never missed anything. Yesterday he got concussed. I'm sure that was an interesting conversation when they were trying to figure out if he was concussed or not, because he always seems a little bit concussed. It's just a little bit. But I hope Gronkowski's back for the next game. I would say it's going to be hard coming back to game. He didn't come back yesterday, which I was happy, because it would be really easy to see them put him back on the field, because a lot of teams do that. I was happy to see him not go back out there. Now, I don't think there's any way in hell he doesn't play 2 weeks from now. No way. If I got a concussion and we have a Super Bowl 2 weeks from that, he's telling him right now, I'm playing regardless. Don't care about your tests. I'm going in and I'm playing. So I would be shocked, you know, if I don't see Rob Gronkowski out there. Now, you know, I think this is the best matchup possible. I mean, this I'm talking about Mayweather-McGregor. You have two teams, both passionate fan bases and both hated. Philadelphia, I know they hate New England, and I know vice versa. I know that's a fact. Philadelphia hates everybody, including themselves. They are good at hate. And New England, they got a little particular thing. They got a chip, and they like they're kind of that chip. Everybody's after them. Everybody hates them because they're the best. So I'm telling you, in Minnesota, there's going to be some scraps in the stands. I'm telling you. Philadelphia doesn't mix well with people. They just don't. You know, when you even go to a Flyers game here at Amalie Arena, if you see six guys walking with Flyers jerseys on, you better veer around there, because they're looking for a scrap. That's what they do. If you don't believe me, go to Philadelphia. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the game because I know a lot of Patriots fans, and I know a lot of Eagles fans, and it's going to have a lot of electricity. Eagle fan, they're trying to use reverse psychology. They've been doing it the whole time. Kind of like, we can't keep on winning with Nick Foles. And they're kind of saying it, but they don't mean it, you know? And they're going to keep on doing that. Well, there's no way we can beat Tom Brady with Nick Foles. But I think they believe. Let me tell you something. The Patriots are beatable. I mean, you have to put it on them. But the Patriots are beatable. I could have said that last year, too. When you're down 25 points in a game, that means you're beatable. But the other team has to put you away. So this might be the year. I don't know. I wouldn't put money against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And if you think the Eagles are going to win, you know, go put your money on the money line, because the Pats have come out as 5.5-point favorites. I got a funny feeling that goes down before the end. I do. But I'm curious to see if Nick Foles figures out a way to win that game. What's going to happen there in Philadelphia? Now, Tom Brady, they've had all the rumors of him and Belichick and Kraft not getting along. I never thought they liked each other anyways. Like, I've talked to Bill Belichick. I've been on a treadmill next to Bill Belichick. He don't really like anybody, okay? Like, you couldn't be around him that much. Like, I've been around Bill Parcells and John Gruden. After 2 days, you can't like them anymore. That's just not the way it goes. I never thought they liked each other anyways. They respect the hell out of each other, because they make each other a lot of money and a lot of fame and all these rings and all the accolades. So they just kind of tolerate each other. After you win, you're going to the Super Bowl, you're going to kiss and hug each other, and it's great. But that doesn't mean you're all kissy and huggy for the rest of the time. So there's a lot of change going to go on next year in the NFL, because there's a lot of different quarterbacks that are free agents. Like, Drew Brees is going to be a free agent. I don't know if he wants to leave or not. He can still play. I know Eli Manning's a free agent. Andrew Luck, I don't even know why I keep on bringing up his name, because I don't know if he's not one of the more overrated players that I've ever seen, because he don't ever play. And Alex Smith is going to be a free agent. You couldn't tell me, You know, I don't want to discredit Blake Bortles. I think he did a great job yesterday. But I'd like to see that Jacksonville team with Alex Smith as quarterback. Alex Smith, look at his statistics. I mean, you might not think he's good. Look at his statistics, and the statistics from this year will tell you you are 100% wrong. I believe he had the highest percentage of completion after 20 yards, and that's quite the statistic. That's not dink and dunk that Nick Foles did the week before, but he wasn't dinking and dunking yesterday. And what's crazy to me is the Steelers lose, and now they say some of the boosters want Mike Tomlin out. People want to pull the plug so quickly on coaches. Mike Mularkey, they basically didn't have his back. Then he sneaks into the playoffs, wins a game, and then they part ways. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, everybody thinks that the grass is always greener. They're not going to be better next year with a different coach. Now, Marcus Mariota, who Mike Mularkey kind of molded the offense to him, somebody else is going to come and have a totally different philosophy, you know, different terminology. Everybody brings their system in. And it doesn't make sense to get rid of your head coach unless they retained everybody else and they just plant another head coach in there. Now, that's cool. But after you make, you know, the playoffs, you can't do that. And, the head coaches have huge egos, and they didn't back him when he was 9-7, I believe it was. Then he messes around and wins the game, and all of a sudden, you know, now all of a sudden you're on his side and you believe in him. Head coaches have huge egos, huge. And if they don't feel wanted, you're not going to get any love for them. And Mike Mularkey just said, I'm going to go elsewhere. He'll find a job somewhere else. It's not like that's the best job in the world. Tennessee Titans, that's not the top job. It's not a top job. But I think there's going to be a lot of change because quarterback-wise, obviously, with the coaches out there. It's one of those things where, like, you see Jason Garrett over there in Dallas. You wonder how long he's going to last. Chucky now resurfaces in Oakland, and we're going to see what he does there. I mean, there's going to be so many eyes on Oakland. They're going to sell so much merchandise with Chucky, Raider Chucky dolls. I can't do it anymore. I thought Chucky was gone. Now he's back. One thing that excited me this week, two people that are resurfacing in the CFL. Listen to these names, these blasts from the past names. Josh Freeman and Johnny Manziel are going to be playing in the CFL. Now, you know, being Canadian born, I was actually the second pick in the draft in 1989. Never end up going there because I did get drafted by the Buccaneers. But the price of cocaine is going to go way up in Canada with Josh Freeman and Johnny Manziel there. Just saying. I'm not saying anything, but I'm just saying. Those are two sad stories in different ways. And I never thought Johnny Manziel had what it takes to make it in the NFL because he wasn't mature enough at all. And Josh Freeman had it all in front of him and just pissed it away pretty much by really, really bad off-the-field habits. Really, really bad. So listen, I'm cheering for those guys. I want them to win. And it might even mess around and make me watch a CFL game. Hopefully Johnny Manziel ends up in Montreal. And that made me smile a little bit because I'm happy these guys are coming back. You know what makes me frown? Mel Kiper makes me frown. I can't stand Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper has the audacity to come out with a mock draft in January. Kiss my entire black ass. First of all, the day of the draft, he gets it wrong every time. You're going to have a mock draft before the combine? Does that make any sense? Come on. First of all, I don't know why Mel Kiper has ever made money. I have a personal vendetta against Mel Kiper because I read a book that he was, he put out all the recruits, and I was a recruit in 1989, and I was reading what he wrote about me, and basically he called me camp meat. I'm camp meat. Well, that's not nice, especially since I started for 9 years. So I think maybe you're wrong, maybe a little bit, Mel. And I just don't know where his credentials are. I mean, his hair bothers me too, by the way. But his credentials, I don't know. He's never been a scout. He's never been a GM. He's just somebody that guesses. Some of the players that he say are going to be great, I mean, seriously, you can't be any more off. It's impossible. It's impossible. So less Mel Kiper, I think, would be good for me, because I can't do it. You know, with our Buccaneers here, I always got to get some Buccaneer talk in. I was upset with what Jason Light said last week, when he said he cringed at the expectation for the Buccaneers. In the offseason, it's your job to put a football team on the field that should go to the playoffs. That's your job. If somebody's expectations, if the fans and the experts' expectations are that the Buccaneers go to the playoffs and you cringe, that means you didn't do your job. Free agency, that means you can go out there and pick anybody you want. You can pay them. It's obviously they have to want to come here. You got to pay them the right money, but you can go to free agency, and if you have holes, fill your holes at free agency. If you're going into the season thinking that we're not strong here, not strong here, then you didn't do your job. Going into the season, we were supposed to have a good offensive line. We didn't. We were supposed to have a good defensive line. We didn't. Okay? We were supposed to get big-time plays out of DeSean Jackson. We didn't. Partly his fault, probably more so Jameis Winston's fault. But the whole thing is, I want my GM to have the utmost confidence that us as a group are going to go to the playoffs. Or else, you know what? Let's get another GM in there that actually knows what the hell they're doing. Because, you know, if you're Scott Pioli or Bobby Bethard or whoever it is, if you're asking, hey, Bobby, how you guys going to do this year? I hope the answer is we're heading to the playoffs because we stacked the team with some talent. And listen, when you tried to draft Aguayo in the second round and you bring in Chris Baker, who couldn't have been any more silent, paid him all kind of money to be silent, I think he's going to get cut. I think he has a big bonus coming up. You made some damn mistakes, but I want to think that you know what it looks like. You know, I've been blessed to be around a lot of coaches, and Bill Parcells was probably the most, was the wisest coach I've been around. He knew everything going on the field at all times. When I was with the Jets, and I got injured that year, but that would have been 1999, he said to me, I know what it looks like, and we have a Super Bowl-bound football team. That's what he said. He said, I know what it looks like. And you know what? He knows what it looks like. He's seen it before. He's seen what a Super Bowl team looks like because he's done it. And that was the year that Vinny tore his Achilles in the first game. If he didn't, the Jets would have won the Super Bowl that year. I'm telling you, they were that talented. Go back and look at the 1999 Jets roster and tell me that wasn't a team full of stars, old stars, who you knew can play. With the Brian Cox and Keyshawn Johnson, Wayne Corbett and Vinny Testaverde, and my God, all down, you know, Kevin Mawai and Jumbo Elliott and Steve Atwater. I mean, these are all legendary players that were all on the same team. Curtis Martin, I mean, there was players everywhere. And when Vinny went down, I think Ray Lucas was the backup quarterback, and you can't win a Super Bowl with Ray Lucas. Love Ray Lucas to death, but definitely wasn't time for Ray Lucas to win a Super Bowl. So I'm waiting for this Buccaneer team to make some noise in this offseason, whether it's free agency, the draft to me, everybody gets really hyped about the draft. Nobody gets better at the draft. Almost nobody, literally. You're going to put a young football player on the field and he's going to go through growing pains. If Dirk Koetter doesn't win this year, him and Jason Light are gone. So don't depend on the draft to make yourself a better football team. You got to depend on free agency. And we need depth. We can get better at every single position on the football field. No doubt. So during free agency, if the Bucks have a whole lot of money to spend, if they don't spend any money, I'm not sitting here quiet. I mean, it's to a point where I think we deserve you putting a little something in it. Jacksonville went out and got Calais Campbell and a couple other players, spent some money. Look where they got to. You got to spend some money. I think it's time, because we weren't that far from being a good team this year. We were only 5-11, but if you improve the offensive and defensive line, I think we can contend. Now, it's a big if, but it's going to cost some money, and we don't have time to wait for the draft and for players to, you know, get better 2 and 3 years from now. Don't have that. So let's hope that takes care of itself. Now, I appreciate you guys listening in the trenches. I know the numbers have been fantastic. The Buccaneers season is over, but football goes on all year long. Even after the Super Bowl, there's free agency. The NFL Network doesn't stop. ESPN doesn't stop talking about the NFL. And there's always some football going on somewhere and transactions. And, you know, there's also athletes doing stupid stuff. So that's always fun to talk about as well. If you guys want to email me, it's Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. I have another podcast, which is A Flavor in Your Year, which we do every Friday morning. That has a little bit more pop culture, and it also has a little politics. Donald Trump keeps us on our toes, and not as much sports in that one, but just pop culture and stuff like that. So it gets a little dark sometimes with what's happening now with this politics in front of us, but we try to keep it light, you know. But In the Trenches is going to keep on going. I'm going to start bringing in a couple of special guests, whether it's former players or you know people that blog or any people who love football. But the more the merrier, and we're going to keep it light, that's for sure. I appreciate everybody listening. Have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com. And remember, the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.